My name is Sarissa Brown, and I'm a mental health advocate.
So what inspired you to get into the mental health field?
It started with my own mental health journey. I found out I had issues, mental health issues when I was an adolescent. And I really was quiet about it, didn't say anything. It was just like a family thing. And no one, well, just my mother knew, and she didn't quite understand it. But when I was older, I was really struggling around the holidays and didn't want to leave the house. And so I made a post on Facebook that I did not know was going to be controversial. I said, today is Thanksgiving. I hate when October comes, Halloween, all the way to the end of January 1st, because I just don't want to go anywhere. I get so sad. The holidays make me sad. I don't want to leave the house. And the reactions I got from my family, church members, people on my page, they were all negative. Like, I was selfish. I was a sinner. I must have done something wrong to fall out with God to have this. Black people don't get these type of issues. And I was like, what in the world? Like, I didn't expect this. I thought y'all were going to be supportive. And so after I felt better, I decided that I needed to educate people because, if I had been a weaker person, that would have, not weaker, but if I had been at my very lowest, that could have sent me spiraling. So I started making Facebook posts constantly about mental health and learning more myself. And people started to learn, and eventually they gave me the title Mental Health Advocate. And everything I've done has grown from that day in 2008.
Yeah, can you tell me a little bit about your organization?
Yes, my organization is called Reese's Reach. I'm the founder, and I started it in 2023. Yeah, 2023, for Black women with mental health challenges, mental illness, substance abuse, substance abuse and co-occurring issues, and it's to get them on the road to mental health recovery. A lot of people don't know about mental health recovery, but it's possible once you get, different people have different ways to get there. It could be medication, therapy, or whatever. But, once you at a point where you haven't had a suicidal thought or an episode or depressed or whatever for a while, then your mental health recovery is just like, with alcoholics, people that suffer with alcoholism. When they get a recovery. So it's just to help them. And it's more like a sisterhood in a group where we support each other and have different groups and meetings to be there.
Do you see people's confidence rise as they go through the program and get help?
Yes, actually, I was just talking about, I'm currently in school, and I was just talking about this in class. My favorite part of it is like when people come in first, they don't want to talk, they don't trust you. Then, you start hearing stories and then you start chirping, piping in every now and then. Then finally, it gets to the point that they're like the leaders of the group and they're ready to be. You can see them shining, you can see them coming out their shell, getting more confidence, self-esteem, wanting to do things to better their mental health, educate their families. And you're like, oh, yeah, they're ready to be a peer specialist, they're ready to do this themselves.
Yeah, how does it feel for you to get those reactions?
It makes me it actually it feels great to see, because in I only can speak as the experience of a Black woman in the Black community. I know a lot of Black women don't talk about these issues because, there's a strong Black woman stereotype. We feel that we should be quiet, we should take care of our family and our neighbors if they need us, our parents, and we can't break down. We can't, we can't say anything. We just have to always be strong. But I know for me, I was breaking. It was breaking me physically and mentally. So to see them go from coming in a very fragile state to going to all of a sudden they're strong, they have boundaries. It's not that they cut anybody off, but they have boundaries. They know how to say no and take care of themselves and know it's not selfish. For the ones that are Christians, they learn that you are not sinning. God knew this when he created you. You are not doing something wrong. This is just like something with somebody having cancer or something else. You're not a terrible person. And so just seeing the confidence rise or whatever, it means the world to me to see see the changes in the first people. That I always said, if we helped one person, that was all that mattered.
Have you seen the stigma of just talking about mental health lessening?
Yeah, I have. Over the last few years, I've noticed that it started lessening when the stars, the famous people, started opening up about their mental health. I know it's probably more before her, but I remember when Brooke Shields talked about her postpartum depression, the big thing with her and Tom Cruise. But then, you started seeing that, and then I know Jay-Z talked about him going to counseling. Taraji P. Henson talks about hers. Megan Thee Stallion talked about hers. And so for those people talking about it, people are starting to be like, okay, it's okay not to be okay. But also, I have to say, the younger generations, they're on top of it. They're nothing like my generation. They're very open to talking about mental.
I know for me, when I was diagnosed with bipolar disorder two, when I was 37, the first thing I went to was Wikipedia and see celebrities with bipolar disorder, and that made me feel better.
You know what? When I have I'm bipolar also, and when I was diagnosed, that's actually after I cried. But that was the first thing I did, and there's quite a few of
Yes. And that's a good thing, especially what you're doing. You show people you're succeeding and people are not alone.
Right. And with well, speaking about bipolar, I have to get over. I had to get over the self-stigma, me stigmatizing myself, because I was so ashamed and I was so embarrassed that of this. I remember when I got my diagnosis changed from depression to bipolar when I was 38. And so when it changed, it was like I thought it was the end of the world. I just remember breaking down, just crying, thinking like, and I've been in this work forever. And I was just like, oh no, something's wrong with me. So I had to get over the self-stigma. Then I had to get over, people use bipolar loosely. Anybody that is moody one day, they're like, oh, they're bipolar.
Yes, which
It infuriates me. I'm like, no, they're just moody. They're being me. That's not bipolar. But yeah, as long as we stay on top of our medications and do what we're supposed to do, we're fine.
what do you do to help your own mental health?
I personally, I still meet with my psychiatrist every 90 days, but that's mostly medication. I have a counselor that I think wants me to go away. She's released me a long time ago because she says I'm doing good. So I have to get rid of that crush. But I just love her. She's helped me a great deal. And I mentioned I am a Christian, so my faith is a big part of my mental health. So then I recently started back working out. Years ago, I worked out and it helped my mental health. I had just depression and I was able to come off medication. I do not recommend anyone does that without a doctor, but I was able to come off medication. I know I won't probably ever be able to come off medication now, but still working out does help me and all the feelings that I have.
Yeah, you said about your faith. How does your faith help your mental health?
Well, I pray. I can scream. Right? I can say the things that most people be like, oh, that's not normal. If I feel like I am having an episode or gearing to have an episode, I can say, like, God, touch my mind, clear my mind, I'm on my medication, I'm doing everything right, give me clarity that make the right decision. Sometimes that decision is to call my doctor and the doctor has to change the medication. That was in the beginning. I want people to know that's not always just the answer, just because, you pray or whatever. And sometimes, things will clear up. I could have just not had much sleep. I could have been under so much stress. I do a lot. And, me just go, going, that's too much. But sleep is also very important. But yeah, that just be at play.
What would you say to anyone going through a tough time?
Well, first of all, I'm going to tell them, well, you don't know what I'm going to tell them. I would say, like, if you have no one, 9-8-8. I've used it myself. It's a great resource. It's confidential. You can text them and they'll talk to you. So just anybody can call 9-8-8. And but also I say to have a great support system, an honest support system that tells you like, I'm seeing right. Are you okay? Like my family will ask me, like, how are you taking your medicine in the last couple of weeks? Have a great support system that will call you out. And also, if you need help, get help. See a psychiatrist, a counselor, or whatever. And if you can't afford, there are places that can get you free help. The counseling place I used gave free counseling services. So that was a blessing. So there are places you have to seek them out, but there are places that you can find those resources. But just make sure you have supportive people in your life that understand and don't, take it lightly or make fun.
How does it feel that your family is your support system?
It's great. At first, they weren't. My mother, she came from the time when they didn't talk about that. So I remember crying out, and she was just like, basically, like, I told you to start about adolescence, like, you're a bad kid. She didn't say that, but mom's always been a loving mom. But she was like, I know she was thinking, like, where did I get this bad kid from? Why is she always acting out? And I remember one time I told her, I said, you should just look up what's wrong with me. She's like, I don't need to look up what's wrong with you. You're just misbehaving. And I remember that hurt me. And then with my daughter, it was harder once I had my daughter and she started getting older. We had a lot of mental health talks in the household, but when it got to the point where I would get real depressed and I just couldn't get out of bed for days, didn't want to cook, I didn't want to do anything, I wasn't being a mom. That caused some resentment. But as time went on, both of them really began to understand. I don't know what shifted with me them. I think allowing them to come to my doctor's appointments helped. I think that might have done it. And seeing that, oh, this is real, this is like something. And so they started looking it up and getting more interested, and things shifted. So they're kinder, like, if I'm, like I told you, like, have you taken your medicine? You're acting different. At first I would get upset, but now I'm like, you know what? I haven't taken it in a week. Let me go take my medicine. We don't want anything to happen. So yeah, so they're my biggest support system. And I love that they were willing to learn, even though, and now those relationships are mending. I want to add the good part. They're mending. Me and my daughter are closer than ever. Just had my grandbaby, my first grandchild. And
Congratulations.
thank you. And my mom and I are very close, extremely.
So, where do you want to see your organization in the next 3 to 5 years?
We're starting off slow. We're still new. So, but I do want to, we're right in Birmingham right now. I would love, set 3 to 5. So I would love to be on a national level, helping women and, having hubs all over different cities. I've heard so many women, because most stuff is done online. I've heard so many women say that they wish that they had our programs in their city. And I like, to make that come true. But they still can see us online and meet with us online. So that's great.
Yeah, how can people reach out and learn more?
Our website is www.reeseesreach.org, and that's REECEESREACH.org.